Friends, it can be easy to feel like giving up when we're faced with hardships that never seem to end. Or one ends and then something else happens, and then something else happens to take its place. I've been inspired, honestly, by you guys, your faith in the midst of various challenges that you have had in your own lives. I have seen you rely heavily on the Lord in the midst of your struggles. Today's parable of the persistent widow, as it's familiarly known, is one that we have heard probably often. But it takes place right after both the Pharisees and the disciples have asked about the coming of the kingdom, which we heard last week. Luke says that Jesus told them this parable to show that at all times his followers should pray and not lose heart. This is true for us as well. We don't know when Jesus is coming back, and the things that happen that we see in our world around us can be extremely discouraging. But prayer is still our resource, and we should not lose heart, not give up. The judge in this parable is described as one who doesn't respect men. The NIV is even more blunt. It says, don't even care about people. I don't care about people. God is described as no respecter of persons as well. But in regard to God, it means that God doesn't treat anybody differently based on their looks or where they're from or what their social status is, any of those things. God can't be bribed. But in the case of the judge, it's clearly Jesus says this person is unjust. I don't even know that he likes this job. I'm like, why is this person even in this job? He just doesn't sound like he enjoys it very much. The judge in the parable is also described, though, as one who doesn't fear God. But the widow is persistent in seeking justice. She knows her rights, and she wants them defended. The judge is indifferent towards her, but finally relents because he knows that she's just going to bug him to death if he doesn't resolve the case. Unlike the unjust judge, God doesn't answer us because God is sick of hearing from us or because God is afraid to lose face. Rather, God does answer us because God loves us. And even when God answers seem incredibly slow, they are not. God wants us to persist in prayer sometimes for our own benefit. It's about our transformation, not about getting God's attention. We are to persist in prayer, and the things we're to pray about are the things that Jesus has talked about: redemption, justice, not just our own, but for the world around us, the peace that seems so elusive, righteousness. We are to persevere in the midst of trials without giving up, without losing faith, and without losing heart. Let's be honest. We're all capable of throwing a good pity party from time to time. And a pity party is not the same as a good cry. Good cries are actually healthy. A good cry is a helpful way to process grief or trauma that can result in healing and being able to let go. Whereas a pity party is a state of self-centeredness that excludes others. You don't really want others' advice. You don't really want others' comfort. You just want to feel sorry for yourself and make everybody else around you miserable because you're miserable too. And this type of negativity is never helpful. Instead, we are commanded in Scripture to rejoice always. We are to be joyful people of hope because we have a hope that is sure, and that sure hope, as we have heard, is Christ is coming. Christ is returning. Christ will right every single wrong. God will keep every promise. God is always true to God's character. God is always good. And God honestly, really, and truly does want the best for us. And God will give us God's best, even if it doesn't look like we think it should, or that it would, or that it could be. But God promises to meet our needs, our real needs. If we are to pray and not lose heart, what do we pray for? Well, we pray about everything. Again, in the context of the passage, we pray for the coming of the kingdom, for the Lord's return. That's something we can pray for. We don't know when it's going to happen, but we can pray for it. We can pray for justice, just like this widow does. And notice that she's asking for herself. It's okay to ask for yourself, for justice in situations that affect you directly. Is the Lord's return something that you pray about? Is it something that you pray for consistently or persistently? If not, then why? I think there are a few reasons that we don't persist sometimes in praying for the Lord's return. For some people, they just like living in the world too much. Their world is going great. Maybe we don't really want Jesus to come back yet because we're having too much fun. And we've forgotten where our true home is. Or maybe we feel like we haven't had enough time to do the things that we think we want to do, that we want to try out. Dear Lord, your kingdom come, but just not yet. Can you wait a little longer? There's things I want to do, things I haven't tried, places I haven't been, goals I've set for myself that I haven't accomplished. But doesn't that prayer sound much more selfish than wanting the suffering of the world to end? And then there's a righteous reason that we don't always pray for the Lord's return. Well, I'm not going to pray for Jesus to come back yet because I'm waiting for so-and-so to come to know the Lord. Now, surely, we are to be praying for the souls of the lost, especially people that we care about. We heard this last week. And we shouldn't give up, even when it seems like we've been praying for them for years and they haven't taken one step closer to Jesus. It's really hard to do when day after day, year after year, we see somebody we care about living with no regard for the Lord. But God promises that none of his elect will be lost. So are we still praying for that person? If so, great. You're on the right track. Are you actively sharing the gospel with people? Jesus also says in Matthew 24:14 that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the earth, in the whole inhabited world, as a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. God has chosen us to be his voice and his hands and his feet to proclaim the good news to the world. Part of Jesus finding faith on the earth is that his people are actually doing what he commanded them to do. And prayer is an active part of what Jesus commanded us to do. Prayer gives us energy and clarity to be obedient. It's how we find out what God's next steps for us are. There's also another wrong attitude in regard to praying for Christ's return that shows a lack of faith. There's abundant scriptural evidence that says that things on earth are going to continue to deteriorate before Christ comes again. We're actually going to see this in next week's passage. So there's Christians who actually say things like, "Let's hasten Christ's return by just allowing things to get worse and not doing anything. If we go ahead and pollute the world and not feed the hungry or not show concern for the poor or fight injustice, things will get so bad that Jesus will hurry up and come back." But that attitude is certainly not scriptural. James says that our faith is evidenced by what we do. And Jesus is very own end times discourse, again from Matthew 24:25, he specifically states that we are to care for the poor, the prisoner, the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the stranger. And when we do these things, we are doing them as if we were doing them for Jesus himself. In fact, Jesus praises those who will follow him in this manner, who are actually caught and the acts of service when he returns. When the Lord returns, will he find faith on the earth? There are some who even say, well, let's help rebuild that temple in Jerusalem to usher in the age of the Antichrist. And Antichrist gets here, then Jesus will have to hurry up and come back. But serving evil is the very antithesis of serving God. We are completely and totally reject the spirit of the Antichrist whenever and wherever it appears, to have nothing to do with evil. Will Jesus find us faithful when he returns? Will we be ones who persevere and don't lose heart? Persevere in prayer. And it is okay to pray for your own needs as well as the needs of others. If you're asking wrongly for yourself, Jesus will make that clear to you in the process of prayer. He might change the way that you see yourself or the situation, or you'll think about a different way to pray about it. You know, we often see things in a couple of ways, but there are usually, from God's perspective, a few more ways that things could happen than ways that we would never, ever imagine that can work things out. If we are striving to be faithful, God will move us forward. Keep doing the things that you know are exactly what God wants you to do, because he says them very clearly in the scriptures. The Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3:9 that the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You want Jesus to hurry up and come back? Pray for the places in the world who have yet to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Peter wrote this in the context of people waiting for the Lord's return. It was a time when the church was being horribly persecuted. They were ready for Jesus to come back. Peter was remembering these words of Jesus and telling those people, persevere and do not lose heart. It is the same for us today and in every age. And yet, even so, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And that is something that we can pray for and should pray for. So let's do that. Dear Lord, help us to be those you will find faithful when you return to the earth. May we be found faithful in all that we do. May we be people who persevere in prayer, especially prayer for the lost, prayer for those who don't know you, prayer for those who have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And we can do that with the assurance of your promise that one day around your throne will be people from every nation, every tongue, every tribe, every family group, singing the glory of your praises. Brothers and sisters in the faith, part of our heavenly eternal family. Lord, we look at our world, and we have already prayed so many times this morning on the second Sunday of Advent for peace, and we will continue to do so, because our world is not at peace, and yet it is something for which we long. We pray for justice and righteousness. Some of us have situations in our lives right now where we feel injustice. You know what they are, Lord. So we pray for your justice to come. Lord, we certainly see injustices around us. Help us to pray for those and help us to work in the ways that we can, the ways that you prompt us and gift us, to be ministers of justice and righteousness in our community, in our relationships, for our nation. Lord, may we be found faithful. And we do pray, Jesus, come quickly. Amen.